28. Rod Wheatop lived in a crappy two-room apartment above a deli in the swamp. He wasn't happy about being woken up by the pounding at his door, and he was even less thrilled when he pulled back the door to see who had been doing the pounding. He sneered at the badge on Jesse Stone's jacket. "Yeah, what?" he asked, a freshly lit cigarette dangling from his lips. "I'm Jesse Stone, chief of the Paradise PD. Can I come in, Mr. Wheatop?" Jesse pronounced the TH in Wheatop's name like the TH in Thursday. "It's Wheatop, like Wheatop," he said, his voice all gravelly from smoke and sleep. "And no, you can't come in. What's this about?" Jesse didn't react, not immediately. "You drive the 6-to-6 shift for Paradise Taxi?" he asked.
"What of it?"
Jesse gave Wheatop the cold stare and asked, "Is that yes or no in asshole speak?" Wheatop shook his head.
"Jeez, cops! It's too early for this crap. Come on in."
Jesse stepped into what passed for the living room. It had all the charm of a holding cell. Jesse guessed Wheatop had probably spent a fair amount of time in holding cells.
"What can I do for you, chief?"
"You had a fare last night, a blonde woman wearing..."
"A fake fur coat, yeah. I'm not likely to forget her. She was a pretty hot piece of skirt for an old working girl. Something to drink, chief?"
Wheatop asked, holding up a half-empty bottle of cheap vodka.
"No thanks, a little early in the day for vodka. Mind if I do? It's the only thing I can drink."
Jesse said, "Knock yourself out."
Wheatop filled the dirty coffee mug and took a gulp, blowing cigarette smoke out his nose as he did.
"About this woman you're not likely to forget."
"What about her?"
"Where'd you pick her up and where'd you drop her off?"
"Easy."
He took another gulp, followed by a deep drag on the cigarette.
"Paradise Plaza, about 11:30, and dropped her at the Grey Gull maybe 5 minutes later."
Jesse was already shaking his head before Wheatop was halfway done with his answer. "Try again."
"Check my trip sheet if you don't believe me," Wheatop said,
lighting another cigarette with the one he was still smoking. Jesse had already rattled him.
"Did that. Checked your trip sheet. Been to the Grey Gull. You're full of it."
Jesse could see the wheels turning in the cabbie's head. Wheatop poured himself some more vodka, took all of it at once, and winced.
"Okay, all right."
He crushed the second cigarette out without even taking a hit.
"The old babe gave me $50 on the arm if I said I took her to the Gull."
"That's a start. Where'd you really take her?"
"The Bluffs, over by the old Salter place. I told her she could wait in the car until her trick showed up. She didn't like that too well. Threw the 50 and 10 at me and told me to shove it."
"You thought she was a hooker?"
"Come on, chief. Made sense, right? Getting picked up at a hotel and then asking to get driven up to some deserted place on the Bluffs? Shit. You knew she was going to get in somebody's car after that. She's wearing that big fake fur. And she was all made up and smelled like $1 million worth of perfume, too."
"There was no fake fur, Wheatop, and she was no hooker."
"You're kidding me," he shrugged. "I didn't figure that. But I'm telling you, she was meeting somebody. I'd stake my ass on it. She could hardly sit still in her seat. I thought she was going to make a big score."
"You're sure you left her by the Salter place and not further up the Bluffs?" Wheatop held his hands out at Jesse.
"Why would I lie to you about something as stupid as that?"
"All right, thanks." Jesse turned to go.
"Listen, chief, you ain't going to tell my boss
about the extra 50 and lying on your trip sheet? Not unless I find out you were lying to me. I find that out, and it won't be your boss you'll have to worry about answering to."
"I wasn't lying to you, I swear."
Jesse wasn't sure he believed him.